Welcome to the University of the Free State Career Services podcast, where we talk to experts about the ins and outs of jobs and share tips that will give you a grip on your future career. I'm Dr. Cindy Gray, and with me in the studio today is Dr. Stefan Stein. This weather forecaster is originally from Johannesburg and has been a lecturer at the UFS since 2003 in agrometeorology. Welcome, Stefan.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here.
Stefan, I looked at your studies and I saw that you dived head on into weather after leaving school. Your degrees are all in the same field. You just progressed from a BSc to a PhD studying weather. I want to know, how were you so convinced that that is what you wanted to do, that is what you wanted to study, I think straight after school? Am I correct?
Yeah, I think I already knew before that that's what I wanted to do.
How do you decide one day, I want to be a weatherman? Is that what you are?
Yeah, probably.
How do one decide that? And this was in the 80s, 90s.
Yeah,
that you made that 90s, decision.
Yeah, in the 90s.
Explain that to me.
Well, I grew up on an agricultural holding, so not in the city,
okay.
Outside. And so already I like space around me. And always liked observing the environment and things like that.
Okay.
So, and where I grew up, there in this southern part, southwestern part of Gauteng, is where you could see the thunderstorms develop in the summertime, in the afternoon, over that Vredefort Koepel, over that ridges lying there. It's mining world. But the point is, so afternoons, you could actually see the clouds building from cumulus to cumulonimbus and the thunderstorms moving over. And that was always fascinating to me. I wonder if I've wondered to myself, if I grew up in Bloemfontein, here on the edge of the desert, it doesn't feel like that this year, but whether I still would have endeavored in that field. But that's how things worked out. So I've always had an interest in geography and particular meteorology. And so that's where I put all my eggs in that basket, so to say.
But listen, Stefan, other kids would just see that it's raining, run inside because they're getting wet. So there must have been something that you would look at that and wonder how that works. I don't think many children do that. Did you maybe have a parent or a friend, or was this just a natural interest?
I think my parents, how can I say, encouraged you to read further on these things. And in those days, there wasn't Google, there wasn't internet.
I remember.
Perhaps there was internet, but it wasn't in South Africa, perhaps even. But the point is, so they tried with encyclopedias and things like that to encourage you to figure out things. But I think instrumental was perhaps also the geography teacher at school. And so where I figured out early on, I'm fairly good in reading maps and visualizing things that's not necessarily on a map.
The weather.
Yes, especially when you, well, normal topographic maps as well, but when you come to weather charts and things like that, to imagine that there's an onshore flow that's bringing in moisture and that it's going to rise against the mountains or topography and create cloud and rainfall and rain shadows and these kind of things. So,
rain shadow?
Yeah, like on the other side of a mountain where the air subsides again, it will dry out again. And so
the dry side.
Yeah. So
interesting.
So you must kind of be able to look at a map that's two-dimensional and think three-dimensional about what's happening.
I think that is a special skill. And now that you mentioned seeing things that are not there, I also read that you spent some time in aviation meteorology.
Yes, correct. When I was at the weather service, I was mostly working at OR Tambo Airport as a aviation.
Tell me about that.
So when joining the weather service after your initial training, you have to decide kind of where you want to specialize in.
Okay.
And so do you want to work general public and just telling them this is what's going to happen over the next few days and so on? And then there's the marine side where you work with the shipping industry and so on.
Okay.
So there is a little bit of an added thing where you have to, for example, tell them about the condition of the sea, the swell, the height of the waves and those kind of things and the direction it's coming from. And in aviation, there's even more detail in terms of you have to be able to tell a pilot when is a thunderstorm going to start, what type of precipitation, when will it stop, what visibility will be in it, what the cloud base will be, what the cloud top will be, where the freezing level is, where there will be icing and turbulence, and all those kind of things. And you are more interested in hourly predictions.
For sure.
So to get the takeoff data right and those kind of things. So there's more, I can say, challenges when it comes to aviation. And so that's why I went into that.
But tell me,
because I don't like to be bored.
Clearly. But tell me, so that's a 24-hour thing that you have to do because they fly at night as well.
Exactly. So that's why most weather forecasters work shifts.
What shift did you work?
Well, it's rotating. So okay. There's a shift roster that you rotate. And so it depends how they put it up. But so it was usually 4-5 days, the shifts following, and then progressing to a night shift. And then coming off a night shift, you had an off day, which was always wonderful because you could go in the middle of the week to do your shopping when everybody is at work. But I liked working at night for the night shift. It wasn't a problem.
But I must tell you, this was fascinating to me because, I mean, many of us have been to airports and you always think pilots, hostesses, air hostesses. And obviously they need to know about the weather, but I would just never think that that was a job, that they were people there telling the pilots what's going on.
Actually, you can go so far to think that there's actually legislation that says that the aircraft cannot fly to an airport or land there if they don't have the weather.
I want to touch on another topic that is on everybody's minds the past couple of decades, contentious.
Okay, I'm scared.
Don't be. Or be, I don't know. Climate change. My question is, okay, let's start at the broadest question and then we unpack it. Should we be concerned about climate change?
Definitely.
Then I want to just make it a little bit recent. So we've had the recent South African floods. I see it's flooding in Dubai. Is that a result of climate change or is that normal weather patterns trying to stabilize?
It's always difficult for anybody to classify an individual event as part of climate change or not. But so that is a recent speciality field here where people do attribution studies to try to explain whether a certain event is can be, I say, whether we can say it's part of climate change or not.
Okay.
So let's put things this way. When you add more energy to a system, and that's what we are basically talking about with climate change.
Okay.
There's more radiation, that energy that's trapped in the Earth system due to enhanced greenhouse gases. And so that energy can be used in two ways. It can be used to warm the system, to increase the temperature of it. And so we think of increasing surface temperatures and air temperatures, sea temperatures, all of that. Okay. Or it can be used to do work. So that's the two options. Either you increase the temperature or you do work with it.
Okay.
And so part of this work is to evaporate moisture, to give you more vigorous storms, intense systems. And so that's where that other part of the equation comes in. So it is definitely one of the side effects of climate change is that we have these higher frequency and more intense storm systems. We are live in an age where you are bombarded with information from different directions on social media and so on. And perhaps you don't always have time to go, and you are busy with your own work and own job and things that you have to research, and you don't perhaps have time to go and read up on a certain matter. And perhaps your only information is the TikTok videos that you see, you know. The
not to speak for yourself, Steve.
No, I don't. But I mean, I take myself as well.
No.
If you give me a quick soundbite, I might listen to it. If you give me an hour speech, I'm going to put it there and on the side until I get time for it. My point being is these things sometimes flood the airwaves, and it's difficult for people to decide what is right and what is wrong.
Okay, so we're cutting them some slack. That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
Stefan, just to end off this topic of our conversation, what, let's say one or two things that people who are concerned about climate change can do today already and tomorrow to make a difference and feel that they participate in improving the situation.
I can perhaps start to say that I solidly believe, and the science is there, that climate change is real.
Okay.
If you go and look at peer-reviewed studies, scientific publications, then it's overwhelming, more than 90%. I think it's something like 97% of the studies agree that there is modern-day climate change taking place.
Okay.
So very few naysayers can go against that fact. The discussion is usually whether it's man-made or natural.
Sure.
Okay. And so of those, the majority also agree that it's man-made. And it has never happened at the scale and at the speed at what it's happening now.
Okay.
And so there is a problem. Okay. So what can be done? And so I think the best is if we don't always leave it to, it must take tackle from both sides, from a top down, from government side, but also from below, from our side.
I'm fascinated by, you know, we often as the public see a weather forecaster on the TV, or we have the weather app, and we have no idea what happens at the back end, at your end, and the way that you explain how you support pilots and you know, ocean traffic, it's absolutely fascinating. I would have, you know, we sort of grew up in the same era, and I didn't know that that was a job. So I'm really impressed that you knew that from so early on. Yeah, it's, thank you so much for sharing all of it. And you are on campus at the University of the Free State. Can people get hold of you if they are interested or have more questions?
Yeah, no problem.
Okay. Yeah. You are at the Natural and Agricultural
Faculty, yes. I'm in the Department of Soil, Crop and Climate Science. And so, yes, I'm an agricultural meteorologist. They shorten it as an agrometeorologist. Sounds like an angry aggressive meteorologist. But it's just because we are in the agricultural side of the faculty, and we find touching grounds with agriculture and climate science.
Which is vital.
Yeah, and we also started a degree at Structured Masters in Climate Change and Variability. So we have students in that as well, yes.
Everybody?
We have students from all over Africa, and so also coming into that program.
If you've wondered what to do for your masters, here's something that you can think about.
Sure.
Stefan, on a lighter note, I'm going to ask you 5 quick questions, or it's more like this or that.
Okay, spitfire.
Yeah, let's call it that. You don't have to think about that. Thank you for all the thinking you've done up until now. This is just for fun.
Okay.
Complete the following. Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Sweet or salty?
Salty.
Remote or on-site?
Depends, eh? On-site.
Okay.
I want to see whether my students understand what I'm saying or not.
I get you. Complete the following. Every morning, I
try to go to the gym and start the day correctly.
Well done to you. My favorite word is
no.
Well done, Stefan.
I think too many of us just say yes.
No, you're absolutely right. I'm going to take that from you. Thank you so much for this wonderful conversation. I'm sure that, well, you opened my mind a lot. I'm sure that listeners will also feel like that. And I actually look forward to talking to you again.
Oh, thank you. It was a pleasure.
That's it for now. Listen to all our episodes to make sure that you get into the fast lane of career success.